Hello, welcome to Feed, Play, Love, the bite-sized podcast for parents. I'm Siobhan Hunt. This is a show all about parenting. I speak to experts and carers about everything from fussy eating, toddler behaviour, sleep and more. Humans, as a whole, aren't very good at dealing with difference. It might be people with different abilities or different neural wiring. Most of us want to be better humans, and most of us want to raise children who are accepting of others who aren't the same as them. Deborah Abella has written a picture book to help with this. It's called Bear in Space, and Deb joins us in the studio now. Hi, Deb. How are you?
Hi, Shep. Very good. Thank you.
Can you tell us the story of Bear in Space in a nutshell?
Yeah, it's about a bear who is different, and he doesn't quite see the world in the other way that the other bears do, and he doesn't quite fit in, but he's obsessed with space, and so he builds a rocket, and he flies into space, and he feels just quiet there and lovely, and no one picks on him or kind of teases him, but then he's lonely, and then something extraordinary happens.
Oh, there's a hook. What inspired you to write this book?
Well, I'm an author and I've been a teacher sort of for about 20 years, and it's the kids I've met, those little kids that you see who don't quite fit in, and they don't quite get what the other kids get, and they're also looked upon as, oh, he's kind of a little bit different, or she doesn't kind of get it, you know, why isn't she laughing when we're laughing? And so it was for all those gorgeous little different kids that I've met who are wonderful and who see the world differently and deserve to have, you know, friends and kind of have a good time like the others. But it's that, you know, that idea of, you know, we all deserve friendship. And the other thing too is we don't have to have a lot of friends. We just have to have those friends who get us and who love us exactly the way we are.
So you were speaking there, you kind of mentioned a few of the children that you've seen, and I use the word different. Are we talking about neural difference?
All sorts. This is the thing. You know, I've met all sorts of kids, of course, over the last 20 years, and some who don't have a diagnosis or they haven't, you know, it's not been kind of labeled anything, but they're just little quirky kids, you know? So it's like, for example, the illustrator I wrote the book with, Marjorie Crosby Farrell. Her little boy, when he was three, was so obsessed with space. He wanted for his third birthday the lunar landing module from NASA, right? Like at three. And he was so obsessed with space, they thought he is never going to make another little friend because all he talks about is space. And oh my gosh. So it was just that he was really super, super like quirky and obsessed. And they so worried until the first day of kindy, and he met another little boy who is obsessed with space. And sometimes that's all you've got to do, you know, find another kid who is on the same wavelength as you and has the same passion and the same kind of, you know, likes as you. So it's not specific to anything. It's just that we all don't have to be the same. You know, that pressure when you're a kid to kind of look like everyone else, or, oh, I don't have those shoes like that kid does, and, oh, that's the new bag that everyone's getting, and you're just going, nah. You know, when we're our age and you just go, oh, it really doesn't matter.
No, I'm wearing flat shoes. I don't care how old it makes me. No more stilettos. I think one of the things I find interesting is on a theory level, let's say, I understand this and I appreciate this, and I would hope that I behave that way in terms of acceptance. Children, of course, as we know, are developing themselves, and you don't want to label a child as a bully or as unkind inherently because they're still developing. They're still working their way out around these things. How have you actually witnessed children respond to difference that might be seen as unkind, and it's really they just don't understand?
Yeah, I think one way that I think is lovely for kids if they see difference, because then that kind of, oh, well, no, they're really, oh, no, I've never seen anyone who looks like that before, who has that kind of lunch or whatever. Like, my dad is a migrant, and even, like, he got bullied severely when he was a little kid for being, like, different. He didn't speak English. He came from, you know, Malta and all the way to Australia post-war. And it's because those kids in his class that he suddenly landed in Australia in the 1950s had never seen another Maltese kid. So my big thing is that we need to see diversity in the books we read, and because it's in our shops, it's when we, you know, do you know what I mean? It's when we go shopping, when we go to the pool, it's in the playground. And I think the more kids are just kind of mixed together and they're able to sort of see difference and be amongst difference, their understanding is, oh yeah, you know, he just doesn't like loud noises, or she just really is obsessed with her art, and that's okay, you know. So I think the more we're exposed to stuff, the less frightening, I guess, sometimes, or even just the less different it feels. It's like, oh no, that's just Ted, or that's just Mary. You know what I mean? It doesn't become something that separates us. It just becomes that thing that is about you.
You are a big believer in books to help kind of scaffold these sorts of things for children, between children and adults. If an adult had this book, Bear in Space, how can they extend it into everyday life so that they are using that book to sort of leverage those messages that are there?
Yeah. I've had a few librarians even chat to me about how they've used it in class, and I've done this too. I've said to kids, what makes you happy? What is that thing you do that just makes you gloriously kind of frizzle with kind of happiness? And then I said, what's the next best thing, you know? And they said, oh, well, when I do it with my dad, or when I'm with my friends, you know. And I'm like, yeah, exponentially, it just gets so much better. And so I think, like, just using Bear's story for the, and then taking it into their life, what makes you happy? But is there a time too when you felt different? Is there a time when you felt left out? Or is there a time you saw another kid and you thought, oh, they're not playing with anyone, and I saw them yesterday and they weren't playing with anyone? So it's those discussions of, bring someone into your group too. Like, don't, you know, don't ignore when you see that kid and think, oh no, you know, no one's playing with them again. So it's that taking the story and then applying it to their lives.
Which I think, again, I love the idea of it, but I still see the challenge in it, right? Because as much as I am feeling for that child playing on their own, I can imagine that the children, like, I actually will, hand on my heart, say, I don't want my child to be stepping out and then find themselves ostracized, because I'm not quite sure how I can help them navigate that situation as well.
Yeah.
It's so interesting seeing things.
And I think it is. I think it's really fascinating. And I don't want kids to feel like they have to go and save every kid in the playground, you know. It's not about that too. And also, and I was a little bit like this as a kid, I didn't need saving as well. I was a kid who enjoyed floating from one group to another. One day I might want to play netball, and next day I might want to go and play soccer in the yard, you know, with the kids out there, or one day I might just want to go to the library. So I was a bit of a floater as a kid. I didn't really have sort of solid groups, and that's okay too. I think too, active bullying, of course, you would hope that someone would sort of either call it out, and that's scary, or they would at least go and say to a teacher, I think there's a bit of meanness going on in the front playground, you know? So I don't want to put the burden of kids having to save other kids, but I think that it's more celebrating kids as they are and them feeling, I don't have to fit in to the other kids. I don't kind of have to sort of dress like that or act like that in order to fit in. I kind of like how I am. And I think that's the other thing I really wanted with this book too. We're all different. As my mum says, the world would be boring if we're all the same. And it's true, you know. And so stay the way you are. Try not to change to kind of have other kids approve of you, you know, because you're great as you are. I mean, and I was a little nerdy, quirky kid as well. And that was okay. I remember as a kid, and I used to make my own clothes when I was kind of old enough. And I could tell my mum was like, oh my gosh, what has she got on? But she would let me, she would just let me go out in the plaid pants with the polka dot hat, you know, whatever. And that's a good thing. Let's celebrate the plaid pants and the polka dot hat, you know, like, just, that's the big thing I think I wanted with this book as well. You're great just the way you are. And that's a good, unique thing. And other people will gravitate towards you. You'll just find that little group of kids who just adore you.
Well, it's a beautiful book, Deb. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Chev.
That's Deb Abella. She is the author of Bear in Space, and we'll put links in the notes of this episode for where you can find a copy. Feed, Play, Love is a Babyology podcast produced and presented by me, Siobhan Hunt. I'd love to hear from you. So if you'd like to get in touch, email me at feedplaylove@theparentbrand.com.au. See you next time.